And welcome again to our webinar series on Ag in Uncertain Times. This morning, we're very fortunate to have three individuals with extensive experience as loan officers and in the ag credit area. And just a bit of an introduction, those of you that have been with us before, you've heard this, but I think it's worth repeating. Our intent for this series is to provide information that is useful to help producers avoid financial stress, and hopefully also information that is useful in decision making if ag producers find themselves caught in financial trouble. Our June series, as will our September, October, and November series, transitioned from the more global general context, working our way down. And so today, much of the discussion will be around the interaction between lenders and borrowers and what's important for borrowers to know. Our goal for the series is to have information that is useful across the spectrum of U.S. agriculture. We recognize that ag has many different faces and contexts, from very small to very large, specialty crops, grain crops. Conditions are significantly different in the Southwest than the Southeast, but hopefully the general principles that are presented here have application. We want your involvement. We'd like to have you join in the post-webinar online discussion. We'll provide those instructions at the close of this session. You can also, if you've still got the little chat box open over here at the in the left, the little box to the left of this screen, you see the URL, the web address where that discussion takes place. We want this webinar series to be flexible, and so we're also looking for you to provide input as to what some of the next programs ought to be. Here's a pointer. If you want to see the slides in full screen, there's a full screen toggle button. You just click on that with your cursor and use your mouse. It'll go to full screen. If you want to come back so that you can see the little chat box here at the left, you click on that full screen button again. Two or three times through our program, we're going to have polling questions for you, and we would really like you to vote. And it's just really simple. Move your cursor up, select the answer to this particular question. We'd like to know what region of the country are you located in. It gives us some sense of who we're reaching. And we've, in the previous two sessions, we've had individuals from all across the United States. And as we go, there'll be a couple other times when these come up. We'd like to know how you're connected in today's seminar. Satellite or other wireless, cable modem, dial-up phone line. We think if you're on a dial-up, we just ask you to be patient. Sometimes the audio doesn't work quite as well on a dial-up, be a cell phone or some other means of connection. In terms of technical issues, the main one that we've had over the past two is a few folks have had some trouble with the audio. It breaks up or it crackles, and we can tell you that it's a small percentage. Even in our warm-up and starting this morning, one of our speakers had trouble hearing myself, but could hear one of the hosts in the background perfectly. This all of the bugs in terms of using the internet and this particular software, unfortunately, have not completely been worked out. We ask you to be patient. If you do have trouble hearing, afterwards you can go to the website and can listen then to the project, to the webinar. If you're a producer, we'd like to know how long you've been with your current lender, if you'd answer this particular question. As I say, this series is focused on credit. Our September series is going to be focused on markets. In October, it's going to be focused on farm and ranch families. November, dealing with risk in general. And then our December series will kind of be a wrap-up, pulling this all together. We'll tell you here in just a second how you enter questions, and I guess we're ready to go to that. First, as I've identified, we have three presenters this morning. We will take a question or two after each presentation, and there will be, as we've identified, polling questions between presenters, and there will be a panel Q&A following all presentations. You enter your questions for the presenters in the chat window, which is over here, as you see in the left. It says chat Q&A, and you enter your question in the small window at the bottom of that. And when you're done typing in your question, then you click on that return arrow, and it will be sent to our presenters, and we have a group working in the background who takes those. If there are several that are similar, they wrap it into one. They post it so that I can then give those questions to the presenters. We, in the previous sessions, have had many more questions than we could answer. And so what we're doing is taking the questions and posting them on the website. And on the from the previous work, Jay Pinnick is blogging with us there and is taking questions directly. We'll put the questions to our presenters this morning, and we also are looking for other answers to those. But this is how you interact with us. Today's speakers, and I'm not going to give a really detailed introduction to any one of them. Their full bios are on the webpage, and so that you can read more about them. And our first speaker is Joel Lorenzen, Chief Credit Officer and Chief Operations Officer of Farm Credit Services Southwest in Tempe, Arizona. Following Joel will be Corey Price, who's the Vice President, Senior Commercial Loan Officer at South Valley Bank and Trust, which is in the Willamette Valley, and Robert Siren, who is the Director of Credit at Wilbur Ellis. And so, without further ado, if we can load up Joel's slides, I will turn the program then over to Joel, who will give his presentation. I'll have a couple questions for him at the end, and then we'll transition on to the next.
Okay, thank you, John. Please write in and say if you can't hear me. Like John said, you know, we all know the internet isn't perfect, but they're doing the best they can. I want to congratulate you on your series, and thank you very much for allowing me to participate. I listened to the series that was recorded the last couple of times, and I thought it was very informative. So congratulations on that. I'm going to talk about four things today, and really, the first one is about a laundry list of items that I think a borrower would want to check to see when they're choosing a lender. And then I'm going to flip the switch and say, what does a lender look at a borrower? I'm going to talk a little bit about business plans, and then I'm going to talk about some successes that we've seen for management practices in these kind of times. So with that, the first slide I have, it has to do with, it's really a laundry list of questions, and it's that you can ask yourself. Keep in mind that every lender is going to be better at some of these and worse at other ones. You have to pick the one that works for you. I guess I would say of all of the things on the third bullet, it says, do they talk straight to you about your business? And really what I mean there is, are they asking you, are they just nice all the time, or are they asking you questions that are a little more difficult and that cause you to think and add value to your operation? And to me, if you choose lenders like that, that may not always ask easy questions, but are straight with you in all of the good times as well as the bad, I think you'll end up with a better operation and a better lending relationship. And keep in mind too that I'm talking about long-term relationships in a lending business rather than a transactional, which I haven't seen Bob's presentation. Bob Sirens, but I'm looking forward to that. He may talk more about that part of the lending relationship. The next one has to do with flipping the page over, and it really has to do with what a bank looks at and for a lending relationship with a borrower. And I'm talking about longer term relationships. These are the basic what's traditionally known as the five C's of credit, and while Dr. Cole talks about they really are collateral, this is really what he's playing off of. It's really capital, capacity, collateral, conditions, and character. And I just want to make a couple of comments about this. The first one on the capital really has to do with how much equity a borrower owns, and then how much of that is in liquidity. And we've seen in our area in the last year, and especially in the dairy business, is how important liquidity really is. A lot of times one would think that there would be certain industries that can get by with less liquidity, and dairy being one of them, because their cash flow is monthly rather than maybe perhaps annually on for annual crops. But this time around, the dairy business, as many of you know, are struggling very hard. The prices of milk are way down, and I think that some of the dairymen this year are not just going to be the very good dairymen that survive. I think some of the dairymen that won't survive are going to be excellent dairymen, but haven't had the liquidity in their operations, and they have no way to get liquidity in their operations, and they're going to flat just run out of cash. So the liquidity component of this is and the working capital is extremely important. On the repayment side, for capacity, profitability really is if you make money, and cash flow is really if you made enough money. And those are two different components. Collateral, as we all know, is the last resort for repaying the loan. Conditions really have to do with monitoring what is going right with the loan, compensating the bank for risk in the loan, and then matching the terms of the loan with the customer's needs, the cash flow. Character and management, and all, really this one relates a lot to the next several slides I have. And to me, it has a lot more to do with not only if the person is a good person, if they're honest, but it really has a lot to do with how they manage their business and how they manage their farm and ranch, their business and their skills and their financial skills. I want to talk a little bit about business plans. And there is a place, and I know some people in our, even our customers, that utilize unwritten business plans. But these operations really are limited, because business plans are really a way to do a couple of things. They allow for communication with others and other stakeholders. And if you're a single person and don't need to borrow money and in your operation, you could probably get by without a written business plan, because you've done the business planning in your head and you only have one person to report to, and that's you. But when something happens to that person, then the life cycle of the business is cut short. So business plans are also good for not only communicating with owners and stakeholders, but they can be a good benchmark for everybody to track agreements on how and where the business is going and how it's going to getting there. The strategic plan within the business plan is really setting up what objectives and strategies and actions need to take place in the business, and it provides a way to have those objectives and action steps accountable to others within the business. So that business plans and written business plans are extremely important. Those companies that have those and those farmers and ranchers that have those do significantly better than those that do not. From a business plan, from the financial plan's perspective, this is really my wish list of what I would expect to see from a very good business plan. And that is, you not only is the crop or livestock production, you're having your expense and operating budget showing your profitability, you have a capital budget showing capital purchases you're going to make, and probably pro forma projected balance sheets. And the last one that you see more and more now is enterprise tracking. Many of the farms and ranchers today have more than one operation, and many you're seeing need to understand what those different operations do at what time, so they can make the proper business decisions in a timely manner. And if you don't have the enterprise tracking and identify what the separate businesses do, then it's very difficult to make the decisions in a timely manner, and especially in times like this. So I think that's a trend that I'm seeing more and more of, and it's a way to improve your business and be a little ahead of the curve. The last item on this one I wanted to talk about is really what can I do to improve my business skills, because for the most part, these skills are learned skills, and you can educate yourself, but I think the bottom line is you got to understand where your strengths and weaknesses are, and build on the strengths and compensate and offset for the weaknesses you have. We all have those. The last part I wanted to talk about is what are the things that we see that businesses and farmers and ranchers do to continue prosperity in the uncertain times. And so I've made a list of 12 things that I've seen operators do in our times. And one of those is they keep a positive relationship with their lender who's committed to the industry. They do keep excellent financial records. They're better than the average. They do the enterprise analysis, and whether it's by segment or commodity. And another thing is they look at their staff capabilities. If they're more than a family operation, and even if they are family operations, they'll match the people in the family or in the operation to the right place they need to be within the operation. And if there's a family member that is very satisfied in driving tractor, then that's where they ought to be. If they're not skilled in the financial area, you don't want to put them in the bookkeeping area. So it's getting the people in the right seat on the bus and making sure that they can contribute in a positive way. Of course, minimizing costs and expenses. Number six is managing the whole margin. And what I mean by that is that if you look at operations in the last, especially in the last year, you're going to see a lot of operations that had the that did have the opportunity. And this, and some of this is 20/20 hindsight, but if you look at, you see the people that had the opportunity to lock in both costs and prices on the other side, and prices for their commodities. And those that didn't, so many of those that didn't are suffering today, because what many of them locked in like high corn costs for the feeding operations, but did not lock in the profits for the sales. Dairy farmers locked in some high feed costs, but didn't lock in their milk prices. And we've seen some people, some milk producers that did lock in milk prices that are doing well today. So I think there's a more of an emphasis as we go forward about locking in the your entire gross margin, not just part of that. Wait a minute. Okay. I've seen in the last year a lot of rents and leases and terms of contracts be renegotiated with suppliers and input people, and more than I have in probably the last 25 years prior to that. And it's because of the changes in operations, the changes in the economy that we see. The family living expense, we've had some very good times in the last couple of decades, and all of a sudden now we're in a situation where we have many, especially young farmers, that have not seen the real serious downturns in the ag economy. And they've grown up used to buying lots of toys, and that part is over in a lot of areas. And the family living adjustments are sometimes, I've seen some families that have been able to adjust easily and some of them that haven't. But that's one of the things that helps keep more money into the operation and be able to work themselves through the downtimes. Number nine is using all the risk tools. I talked a little bit about the hedging of like milk prices and stuff like that. That's but there's also insurance and fixed rates. If you can get fixed rates, are more difficult to get right now, but if you can get them, now's probably a good time. I mean, there hasn't been any lower prices for costs that we've seen for years, decades and decades. Take steps to maintain and increase liquidity and sell assets if necessary. And I talked a little bit about that, but I wanted to put that on this list because people who've taken like who've feel that there's some very significant risks in the business. I've seen people sell their vacation cabins, they sell other assets that are not earning money and put it back into the business, and increasing liquidity and increasing their working capital to make it through the bad times. Number 11, take multiple actions sooner to preserve options. And when of the farmers and ranchers that I've seen that have had issues, the ones that have succeeded, have survived and flourished out of that, are the ones who have taken multiple steps all at one time. And may, rather than saying, well, I'm going to try to put up this piece of property and see if it sells, they'll say, well, I'd like to sell that one first, but if that doesn't work, I'll sell these other pieces. And they'll put them all up for sale and work with what they've got. And those that do that are more likely to survive any downturn than those are not. The number 12 is I've seen people in our area, those that have kept good balance sheets and not borrowed a lot, are going out and purchasing land at very low prices, and they have efficient, they've been having efficient operations, and they're actually capturing opportunities at that time. So right now. So anyway, those are the 12 things I saw. I want to talk in From a management perspective, I think there's two basic things. Identify small issues in the operation before they become problems and solve them early. And then use the planning process and the financial statements and enterprise analysis to take advantage of opportunities and identify issues before they become problems. The last one is the last marks on that slide are a crisis equals danger and opportunity. That's from a famous speech from John F. Kennedy that referred to the Chinese language, where the symbol for crisis is a combination of the one from danger and opportunity. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to you, John, and with any questions.
Joel, thank you very much. The first question, you referenced business plans and good records. What do you think the biggest hurdle is in getting producers up to speed with good records? And the second part of that, what aspects of records are borrowers having the most difficulty with?
The first part of that, I would say that it's a understanding of what the advantage to the actual owner borrower is. They, you know, for the most part, they've grown up in this industry and they understand what the operational process is, and they still and so they don't see a huge need to go out, for example, and pay extra money to get a reviewed statement or to break down the statements into enterprise analysis. And I think they just, if they look at it a little bit farther into it and say, what opportunities am I missing that I don't know have that, and that I don't publish my financial statements like monthly or at minimum quarterly, and they don't understand that if they look at those and understand what those mean, they can identify issues and before crisis happens, they can correct problems, they can take advantage of opportunities, and there's so many things you can do. As far as what aspects of the records the borrowers are having most difficulty with, I think it's the total understanding of what those financial statements can do. We have a vast array in our business of people that understand them very, very well, and those that don't really understand the difference between a balance sheet and an income statement. So those are the hurdles that we look at and we struggle with as lenders.
Kind of a follow-up on that. How do you train young or beginning farmers in these business skills, financial management, business planning skills?
that's a good one. We have to train our, and whether it's us or any financial institution, I think you have to train your loan officers to ask the right questions and be of help to those folks that are running those operations. That's our lifeblood, and that's what we need to be a success. If they're not successful, we are. So we have to train our loan officers to ask the right questions and help them along with that process and get them to understand the value for that.
And Joel, this will be my last question. And to the audience, if you could concentrate on what we're saying, but also answer the poll questions, that would be great. And Joel, how has information provided by borrowers changed over the past few years? I guess an additional part of that is, what are you requiring differently? And how do you think that information will change over the next year or 3 to 5 years?
What we require for borrowers really has to do with the operation, and if it is a smaller, if it's a smaller operation, we're going to require less. If it's a larger, more sophisticated operation that has For example, three tentacles, or let's suppose what we see now is two brothers being in the farming business, and they go to partners and it on a piece, so they have their separate things, and then they have their joint operation, and maybe then portions of that family branch off and have an agribusiness. So you're starting to get into some real complexities, and for those kind of operations that can become much more complex, we and borrow more money, we require either reviewed or in some cases audited financial statements. And I think that's becoming more and more the norm in the financial arena. I think those that I think those as far as what's going to happen in the future, I see that there's going to be more and more tendency to understanding each set of the enterprises more, like I talked about in the slides. I think that's the trend. And I don't think there's going to be any backsliding about there's going to be any ever. I don't think we can expect any less in terms of adequacy of financial information. I think the requirements for that are going to be increasing as we go along.
Thank you, Joel. And there'll be an opportunity to place more questions before Joel after Corey and Bob have presented, and we're going to do a little bit of a handoff here because for some reason Corey can't hear me. So I'm going to transfer the MC responsibilities right now to Duane Griffith at Montana State University, who will introduce Corey Price and get her started, and Duane will be the person who gives the questions to Corey. I'll give them to Wayne. You'll hear a little chatter. Please hopefully not be confused. We're working around the technical difficulties here of the internet. So Duane, would you introduce Corey?
Certainly, John. Corey Price is the Vice President and Senior Commercial Loan Officer of South Valley Bank and Trust in Lakeview, Oregon. And Corey has a bachelor's degree in science and business administration with an accounting focus from Western Oregon University. She has pursued specialized training in ag lending and graduated from the Western Ag Banking School in Washington State University. She also serves on the American Bankers Association Ag and Rural Bankers Committee and is very involved in her local community. Along with all of that activity, she and her husband live on a small hay and cattle ranch in Lakeview with their children. So, Corey, your slide sets are ready to go here, and go ahead and take over and take it away.
Okay, thank you. As I start this presentation, we'll see if I can actually get my slides to work here. Basically, my thought process in putting together a presentation today was to go through the questions that had been presented to me. And I think in the past with Joel and the speakers that we had over the last few days, they're giving maybe a little more of a high level, you know, 30,000 foot. And I'm basically on the ground with the borrowers every day. So some of my perceptions may be a little bit different in how we're moving forward with these borrowers in the current times that we have. The first question was, you know, what's most important for borrowers basically in the current economic time? And it goes back to the things that everyone's talked about as far as character and knowing your borrower, their capital structure, cash flow, and how realistic is that, along with their collateral position. I think how well you know your borrower, especially for the lender, is key to any operation and the ability to deal with adversity. Some of those items, basically, where have they been before? Every production agricultural person has had adversity. How did they act and deal with that? Do they have the ability to follow their plans and budgets? Do they let the loan officer know of changes or difficulties prior to them making that change, or is it something that you get after the fact from the neighbor down the road that they've done something different? And, you know, do they really consider you a partner advisor, or do they come and see you once a year when they want their new money? So those are keys in knowing your borrower as you move forward, especially as things get more challenging. As everyone's talked about, financial positions, liquidity, the cash in their operation, do they have reserves? It's probably more important than ever. Their ability to sustain and build reserves, leverage position. A lot of your borrowers, I think, tend to not understand or maybe overlook the importance of that position. Everybody looks basically on the financial side and runs one way or the other off of the farm financial standards for those leverage abilities. That leverage position is so important with their ability to withstand adversity, be it reduced yields, price, increased expenses, those types of things. So I think that's one of the things that is difficult and is very important in getting your borrowers up to speed so that everyone is on the same page so you don't have surprises. One of the things I think that some borrowers don't understand is that, you know, the bank doesn't want to finance 100% of their operating expenses. You want to have either cash or cash coming in from prior year's crop that is flowing into your next operating budget so that the bank isn't in a position that they finance 100% of those operating expenses. Budgets need to be realistic. They need to provide a worst-case scenario, and lately we've seen that worst-case scenario has not even been where they thought it was going to be. The one thing that borrowers tend not to do, and they rely on their loan officer to do, is their break-even analysis. And really, those borrowers need to know where their break-even analysis is, and it shouldn't be left to the loan officer to be their chief financial officer, although in small businesses, small farms, that does tend to happen. Collateral is always important. Crop inventory maybe was a lot less than you originally thought. We're looking at a lot of hay growers in our area that their hay was still worth a lot of money at year end when we did their budgets and updated balance sheets, and that hay has seen a significant drop up to potentially 50%. So that's something to really consider as you move forward. A lot of people think that they're going to hold out for that better price, but in the end that may not be the best choice. We look at the collateral as far as how liquid it is. There's basically two types of collateral: the collateral that's going to be sold and repay the loan, and then a secondary or backup collateral could be real estate or equipment. And then when we look at that, you really want to take a look, especially where things are more challenging now, as far as, is there deferred maintenance? What are their animal husbandry practices? What are their storage conditions? Those are all things that we take a look at as we move forward with our borrowers. The other comment and question that was posed to me, does a scale of operation make a difference, be it small or large? And the basics are the same, be it a small operation or a large operation. With our smaller operators, we tend to have off-farm wages and income that help support debt service, health insurance, family living. We also see that these accounting systems are typically not as strong, and they typically don't have as good of an understanding of their financial statements. Their accounting standards and practices tend to also lag in the development or growth of their business operation. So you may see that they are doing well and they have the ability to expand, be it acreage, diversify, a lot of different things. The challenge that we see with a lot of these growers and going basically from a small type of operation to larger is their weakness in accounting standards and practices tends to become more of an issue as they get larger. With large operations, you know, they have more diversity. They're reducing risk as far as be it product or geographical diversification. And the one thing that we are looking at closer than we have historically is that off-farm income is a necessity. And with the current times, will that income continue and how likely is that? which I think historically we probably haven't looked at that as closely as we should have. Next question was the critical things a farm or ranch business should do if they find themselves in trouble. Communication is the key to that. Prior to getting to us, the producer really needs to take a hard look at what business plans they had. They need to try and take an objective view of the operation instead of the emotional one, which in agriculture is very difficult. A lot different than, you know, a developer who's developing housing, you know, a community, and, you know, things get bad, they can sell it, and they don't have an emotional attachment to what they're doing. They really need to take a look at, do they have the ability to stay in business at their current level? Do they need to look at potentially a partial liquidation? You know, do they have any ability to continue operations? They need to communicate with their lender early. The earlier the detection, the easier any type of correction can be made, and it really helps avoid surprises down the road. In this challenging time, they need to really look at relying on their lender as an advisor. They also need to look at outside advisors as far as what types of possibilities are out there so that you can potentially restructure, modify payments, lots of different things. Look at your CPA, financial advisors, attorneys. There's lots of options out there, and everybody wants to work together to make things work for the borrower. Nobody wants to be in a position that they have to liquidate somebody if that's not, you know, basically the last point of, you know, no return there. A business plan is a key, and I think that's one of the areas that really is lacking in agriculture as far as what they do provide with a business plan. They do typically give you budget projections. You have to have that. And within their budgets and projections, basically you can develop what is their business plan as far as your overview of their operations, their production management, their marketing. It's different as far as, I think I have one that actually gives me a true written business plan. We usually start with the budget and then we work from there. Critical actions as far as for farmers and ranchers that are performing right now to keep their businesses healthy in the current situation that we have, you know, any capital expenditures they really need to pay for themselves, be it that they're going to buy a tractor that's going to be more fuel efficient, can pull a bigger disc so they'll pay, save on fuel, be it they're going to put a pivot in and they're going to save on labor and power costs. You know, I think right now more than ever, those capital expenditures really need to pay for themselves. Avoid the non-essential, essential improvements, purchases you can delay, really tighten your expense control, and also that tighten the family living expenses. Marketing plans need to be reviewed early to make sure that you have more than one option, that maybe historically that's been fine, but, you know, now in these times that's not going to work. Let's see if I can get to the next slide here. All right, my slide seems to be stuck, so let me go to my hard copy here. I don't know why. All right. Other options that I think are important in the current times, basically, are to try and stick to your plan and communicate with your borrowers early. I think those are key. Oh, look there. I'm moving now. Well, I'm all out of slides and disorganized now. Basically, I think the importance of things are to curb your expenses, communicate with your lender early, and I think those will be the keys to being successful. So with that, Dwayne, I guess I'm ready for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Corey. One of the questions we got is, what can be done to help borrowers believe the financial statements that they prepare are actually theirs and use them as theirs for financial management rather than just preparing them for the bank?
Well, I think that happens a lot, that especially in small operations, they do feel like they're having to jump through these hoops just to keep the banker happy. And I think it is important to try and use those financial statements that they provide you to actually get them to review them to see what kind of benefits they have. One thing that I do believe a lot of the smaller growers or farmers are using is QuickBooks. So they have some problems with that. The one thing that I do believe is beneficial is they can look and see what their true expenses are on a monthly basis, be it a quarterly basis, so that they're not just producing that for me, but they're really working in. It's a lot, you know, it's right there in black and white when it's on paper that, geez, did I really spend that much on fuel, or did my seed really, maybe seed because that's a one-time thing, but, you know, maybe my fertilizer over a three-month period is really that high. So I think some of those things could benefit them, and then they can maybe start to look at, well, you know, if I did something a bit differently, maybe I could actually control that expense or reduce it.
Another question we have here is, family living tends to be like a concrete. Once it's set, tough to change. Any quick suggestions on how you might make that discussion with the producers you work with?
Well, that is a challenge, and you know, a lot of people that have their set amount in there, and they may just want to every month take that out, and that's their money. And I think that in the current times, that as everybody is in a position that they have to tighten their belt a bit, that on the personal side they have to do that also. And that may come down to, you know, maybe they don't go on as many trips. Maybe they curb what they do on a personal side for entertainment and dinners out and those types of things. And I think it's important that they realize that they, on the personal side, have to try and cut back, not just on the business side, which is a challenge. I think it's more of a challenge depending upon the age of your operator. If you have a operator that's in their mid-50s, 60s, where, you know, the agriculture group is getting older, those people are more likely and have the history and have a better ability of, you know, reducing their personal expenses. When you get into the younger producer, and I'm in the same boat in that, you know, in the 80s when things were bad, I was in high school and I was happily going to school, and then I rolled right into college in the early 90s. And so I think that some of the younger people in agriculture, that's going to be more difficult for, just because we've been very spoiled over the last 20 years. And it's harder for us and my age group in particular to tighten the belt than it is basically for our parents.
Okay, another question we have here is a member of the audience from some region in the U.S. said a local ag bank failed recently, and the bank that purchased the failed bank called in some ag loans. Is there any options or opportunities for the borrower in those situations?
I guess it depends on each operation. And I do know that there was an ag bank that failed in Colorado that was heavily invested in the dairy business. And I don't know if that's, you know, where they're at or what they're looking at. In that regard, I think that those borrowers that are maybe challenged and now their bank has failed and the new bank has shown up and, you know, is different, need to really take a hard look at their operation. They need to be open-minded with dealing with the new lender. They need to pursue some opportunities depending on loan side through their farm service agencies. With an opportunity, does the new lender use a guaranteed program? So maybe if there's risk within their operation that the new bank is not comfortable with, there could be some options as far as through the farm service agencies, be it direct loan, emergency loan, or a guarantee. So that would be basically where, you know, if I was that producer, the direction that I would go.
Thank you, Corey.
Next, I'd like to introduce Bob Siren. He had a number of years' experience with the Farm Credit System before he moved to Wilbur Ellis, which is the nation's third largest agriculture, fertilizer, chemical, and seed supplier. And he's presently director of credit for the Wilbur Ellis Company. We're fortunate to have him located here in the state of Washington. So if you want to read more about Bob, and he's got some other interesting things in his bio, just go to the webpage, which you see over there on the left. And so, Bob, I'm going to turn this over to you now, and you can give your presentation. We'll have a couple questions specifically for you before we go to more of a panel kind of Q&A for our last 10 or 15 minutes. So the platform is yours, Bob.
Okay, good morning, everyone. John, I really want to thank you and compliment and congratulate your team. This has been an outstanding series that you're presenting, and also continued series in the future. So you need to be complimented, and your team needs to be congratulated for putting this together, because it's extremely important series and discussion topics as we move through this, you know, through any time in ag, but certainly through this uncertainty that we have in the credit world today. So thanks again. And I appreciate the opportunity to provide a perspective from the supplier side of this situation that we're into today. So first of all, I just kind of want to set the stage here this morning. Wilbur Ellis Company is not a bank, and we don't want to play that role in today's marketplace. We're an agricultural supply company, and as John said, we supply fertilizers, chemicals, and seeds in the ag division throughout the U.S. And I would frankly prefer that Joel and Corey provide funding to make our payments for our customers to make their payments to us each month. But all that said, I'm going to come back around and talk a little bit about the supplier function from our end, because when it's all said and done, you know, I said we're not a bank, but when it's all said and done, our customers, if they don't make their payments at the maturity date of their billing statements, we're basically financing. And so we in essence become a bank or a financing lending institution if they don't pay their bills on time. And Joel brought up an interesting comment, and good morning, Joel, I haven't talked to you for a while. Joel brought up an interesting comment about that they looked at their customers as long-term relationships and probably wondered how we looked at ours. And from a supplier standpoint, from a sales standpoint, we do look at that business relationship as a long-term relationship, because that's our main business, is selling products and services to producers. And Joel was correct that in the past, credit was more of a transactional part. Credit is a sideline that we need to offer in our supply world, but we used to look at credit as a transactional. So basically, the customer needed time to pay, and credit people in the past were mainly collectors if they didn't pay. But I see that's changing in the 10 years that I've been in this company. We're taking on a lot more we're looking at financing or the credit aspect in the supply business as more of as a part of the overall picture with our customer, more as a partnership. That we look at is more as a partnership now. So some of the discussion topics, I was asked to address a couple of questions. And first of all, I want to talk about where we see ag credit today from a supplier standpoint. What do we consider when a customer asks us to offer extended payment terms, which is becoming more and more prevalent? And then what should farm and ranch business do if they find themselves in financial trouble today? And then I'd also like to touch on how important we think that the relationships are between lending institutions and vendors or suppliers such as ourselves, and then summarize with what are the critical actions to keep businesses healthy in the current economic climate. Okay, with that said, how does Wilbur Ellis look at the at credit today? And everyone on this call knows that you know, that ag supply dealers have gone through some pretty volatile times this past year, with fertilizer prices going you know, to all-time records, and now they're dropping off and continue to drop off. And some of our other inputs have gone up and down. It's been a fairly volatile market last year in 2008 and also continuing into 2009. But when it's all said and done, Wilbur Ellis Company today, we consider credit our number one concern through 2009 and 2010. We think that credit will impact our business as much as anything going through the next couple years. From our standpoint, we believe that money is generally available from the traditional lending institutions, the farm credits, the commercial banks, but we also believe that the criteria and the lending limits have really tightened up. We spend a lot more time with our customers, especially in this first part of 2009, when they come in to talk to us about sales for the upcoming year and if they need to have extended terms to get through the year. First of all, we ask if they've been to their lenders, and we encourage our customers that they need to make sure that their balance sheets are current. They need to make sure that their balance sheets are accurate. Their profit and loss statements have to be completed and current. I think we tell them that the production plans, you know, if they're in the livestock or cropping business, those plans need to be realistic and potentially cover a couple scenarios, whether, you know, maybe what do they think the realistic approach is to next year, and also if they might run a scenario if it's a worst case scenario. And Corey brought up the fact, I don't think we knew what worst case scenario was until we've been through 2008. So but that all said, naturally we see more and more customers looking towards a supplier such as Wilbur Ellis Company to provide extended terms due to credit tightening, and in some cases the banks closed. A lot of cases the customers didn't get financing for 2009, so they're coming to companies such as ourselves for credit, basically. And we look at it, it's not our main source of business. Our main source of income is selling products. So if these customers default on our payments to us, then we're forced into carrying these balances, which, you know, elevates our supplier risk as well. So as a company, we have spent several months, and I say several months, it's been all through last year and even longer, anticipating 2009, 2010. We've gone through our customer lists. We've just basically made a decision. You know, this customer we can carry, this customer we can't carry. We've tried to make those decisions up front. We've spent a lot of time as a company getting our expenses under control, and also getting our balance sheet prepared for this time. As you can imagine, our two main assets on our balance sheet are receivables from our growers and inventory yet to sell. So those two items make up a significant portion of Wilbur Ellis's financial statement or balance sheet as well. And so we've tried to make these decisions up front, tried to make these action plans, put them in place, and make sure that our company is liquid and reduce as much debt as we can in our own company to be prepared to move forward, because knowing full well we're going to have to cover more customer or carry more customers than we anticipated. My bottom point there is we've had a credit policy in our company for as long as I've been here, and we will continue to maintain our focus on strict adherence to the credit policy. So one of the questions I was asked, what do we consider when a customer asks us to offer extended payment terms? Very first question out of our mouths is, we asked the customer, why weren't you provided full financing? I think that's a key question that customers have to ask themselves. If a bank isn't ready to provide all their operating needs, then who's going to do it? Also, if the bank doesn't provide full financing and a customer expects us to carry the balance, we're going to treat that request no different than either one of my counterparts do this morning. We're going to make sure that we have adequate information, and we'll make our decision on whether to extend credit based on the same criteria as any other lending institution would. One of the biggest problems that we have from a supplier standpoint is that we're not always able to get current account applications. We're not always able to get balance sheets and profit and loss statements. They're not always attainable. And as you might imagine, since our main business is selling fertilizers, chemicals, seeds, and services such as application, it's a very easy comment for our customers to say, well, we're not going to give you that because chemical company XYZ just across the street doesn't require that, and we'll go over there and buy the same product there. So that's a challenge or an opportunity, I guess, that we continue to have to deal with, but we spend a lot more time educating our branch staff on how to ask those questions and assuring our customers that this information is kept confidential, which is one of the number one concerns we get from our customer base. The cash flow projections, basically, where's our payment coming from? And Joel's a little bit right that it is truly, our credit is truly transactional, because we sold the product, we just need to get our money back. We are looking more and more at first lien security positions to see if they're available this year than we probably have in the past. And like I said in the first comment, if the customer does have an operating lender, or if they don't, where are they going to get the funds if they need more operating needs? Another thing we look at is, since we have to carry the customer or provide financing, we will manage that risk with product pricing or margin considerations to compensate for the credit risk that we have to carry. We do have credit underwriting standards. They're very similar to the banks, farm credits, or the typical other typical lending institutions. They're almost identical, and so we do follow those. We expect our customers to be to also be gauged against those underwriting standards, and we have probably made a little more exceptions in the past than we will anticipate making this year. So a couple of other, another question was, what should a farm or ranch business do if they find themselves in financial troubles? I know we all, the other two presenters have touched on this. I think it comes down to three things, and one thing is absolutely key. Probably number one, they need to recognize, and it's absolutely critical that they accept the situation as soon as possible. And I think that accepting it probably is one of the biggest challenges that a lot of our growers have. And Corey touched on it, that it's a very emotional decision, and it is an emotional decision because we're talking about people's careers, their livelihood, being in agriculture. So second thing is, we believe that these businesses should contact their major creditors as soon as possible to let them know, hey, we've got problems at our farm, you know, our ranch, whatever else. We've got problems. We're going to have a hard time paying you off, but we need to start working on a resolution to get you paid. So that's absolutely critical. Communication is critical. And then also, that individuals need to work through the situation. If they can do it themselves internally, or otherwise, they need to get outside help, professional help. You know, you heard this morning, you know, get your CPA, talk to your lenders. There are financial advisors out there, but work through it as quickly as possible. So if I were to sum up that slide, I think the primary objective in this question is that once people, they need to recognize it if they have problems, and to accept the fact that there is problems, and then get help to work through it. So I wanted to veer a little from the questions that we're supposed to address and talk about vendor and bank relationships, which are pretty pretty critical in my mind. In this year and in next year, we feel that the average producer, not talking about the large, well-financed or the one producers, I'm talking about just what I call the bread and butter, the backbone of America agriculture, the mom and pop operations. I think they're going to struggle as much as anybody in 2009 and 2010 to obtain adequate funding at their traditional lending source. So who's going to provide that additional funding? You know, what are the alternatives? And that's, you know, questions we deal with every day. I think it's important to keep in mind that suppliers such as ourselves, if you look at a operating budget for a typical farm and ranch operation or agribusiness, about 30 to 40% of those of that budget is for crop input needs. And that includes the fertilizer, crop protection, the chemicals, herbicides, insecticides, and also seed. So companies such as ourselves, ag supply companies, provide about 30 to 40% of those crop input needs. And we take this approach to it, that if this grower is creditworthy, then we think it's really important that the vendors and the grower's operating bank, if the operating bank does not provide 100% financing, that we have to work together on that to find alternative solutions to help that grower get through these times. And we think there's going to be more coordination required, and working together, whether it's through third-party agreements between the customers, suppliers, and the banks, or there could be some revenue sharing. And there may be some times where companies like Wilbur Ells would appreciate the opportunity to share in first lien positions on some of the security. Wilbur Ells has looked at other alternatives besides financing growers, or offering growers through with extended terms through our company. And we work now with other lending institutions with a point of sale financing, and also participating some of our accounts receivables. And this has been extremely beneficial to us as a company. It allows us to move some receivables off our books. It allows us to offer our growers and our customers different financing alternatives at lower interest rates than we charge. And we've been doing this for a good 10 or 11 years in this company, and it's been this has grown tremendously over the last couple of years, and it's been a positive experience, we believe, for everyone involved, and especially our customers. And so this has been a really positive move. And if there are some suppliers, vendors on this presentation today, I would highly encourage that that you contact your local or regional lending institutions and see if there's a way to participate in some of these programs. As I wrap up my presentation this morning, I'd like to summarize with this slide and with this question. What are the critical actions to keep your business healthy in the current economic climate? And the very first one, I think, is manage the balance sheet. And this was very clear with Joel and Corey as well, and even with Wilbur Ells. It's absolutely critical this time to reduce debt and to move towards improving liquidity. And Joel mentioned it, you know, even if it's selling some non-essential assets, but in our company, cash is king, and I think that's important for anybody as we work through this current economic climate. Cost-cutting measures, you know, that's a given. Try to minimize your expenses as much as possible. This third bullet point is really coming to light the last year, and is going to be more so in the future. And you may have a really good customer, or we may have a really good customer, financially they're sound, and all of a sudden they're impacted adversely by the people or the company or the business that actually buys their product, and that company goes out of business or goes bankrupt, goes out of business, completely liquidates. That has been one of the critical areas that we have really tried to focus on, and in fact, within our company, are completing due diligences on some of these processes or some of these large companies to make sure that they're financially sound. So I would encourage the producers or growers on this webinar this morning that they make that effort to go through there and make sure that they know who's buying their product and that they are financially sound as best they can. And lastly, expansion. I mean, it's a wonderful time to take advantage of that if they have the money. I think the question you got to do is, the question you have to ask yourself is expansion just to get bigger, or does it really fit with the core objectives of your of your operations? So, John, I'll turn it back to you. Once again, I want to thank you. This was a wonderful opportunity that you are providing the participants as we work through these times. So, thanks again, and congratulate you once more on this series. So, John.
Bob, thank you. You've supplied some very direct and good information. And Bob, my follow-up question for you, you talked about your credit policy and some things. You've spent a good part of a year kind of getting ready for conditions that you see coming. How do you, what do you see for Wilbur Ellis and others like you going forward, and how you might approach the whole credit part of the business?
Okay.
Is it going to change dramatically?
Well, it has changed, and but it's been changing the last few years anyway. I don't know that we've changed our credit policy so much. I think that the thing that we saw was lacking in our company and maybe in other suppliers as well, is that we needed to spend a lot more time, John, on educating our branch people, the actual salespeople, because the relationships with the customers are not with the credit staff. The relationships with our customers are with the sales staff. And, you know, basically we look at ourselves, we look at the credit department as a resource to our branches. And so the thing that we've really been, the primary focus, other than, you know, making sure that, you know, we'd looked at our customer list and made some of those tough decisions this past year, a few months, is that we really needed to get out to our branch staff and educate them on, you know, why we make some credit decisions, you know, why we continue with some customers and why we don't continue with some customers, and also to get them comfortable with having at least a general discussion with that customer, you know, about how important it is that they have good financial records, that they're current, that they're, you know, up to date. And I think that's been the primary focus we've made, and I think we will have to continue to make, is getting our branches more educated and making them feel more comfortable with having the financial, or at least the high level financial discussions with our growers.
Thank you, Bob. I'm going to direct this next question to Joel and Corey, and it's a question on loan sharing and how has loan sharing impacted the timeliness of and ability of local lending institutions to provide credit to producers, or has it impacted those?
What I see, and we do, we have many customers where we actually sell portions of their loan and the participations to others. And what we've seen in the last year is, one, the price of participations and what other banks demand for that has gone up significantly, which means that to the producers, the cost of lending is going up. And it's been going up fairly dramatically, and I think it will continue to as well. Regardless, I mean, we know that the total prime rate and everything and the government rates are very low, but there's a reluctance in the market right now to take on other kinds of credits in specific kinds of industries. And we're finding it harder and harder to find participants for those. So I don't think, see, that's going to change in the near future.
I would agree. I think that you're finding a lot of the banks that you would participate with in the past are basically holding in reserve their additional liquidity for their customers. There's not a lot of banks out there that have excess liquidity that, you know, they're looking for a place to use it. It's being used up within their own institutions.
This question, and this has to do with credit card balances. We hear some horror stories about that. And I'm going to ask actually all three of you, because I think this impacts all of you. And we'll start with Joel and then Corey, and then we'll ask Bob to come in. And how do credit card balances and usage patterns impact a creditor's willingness to provide financing?
I think in two ways. And the first way is the way people manage their individual credit cards and their individual financial personal circumstances also reflect on how they manage the business, and I don't think you can get away from that. If we see lots of delinquencies on a personal level, we know that that's an attention to detail, and it's a mentality thought and of how those operators view credit, and sooner or later that has an impact upon us as lenders as well. And the second part of that is occasionally you see operations being financed with credit cards and large credit card balances, like unbelievably large credit card balances. And that, it's just not a way to go for producers to to create a long-term relationship. And I guess I would just, I'd leave it at that and switch it off to the next one.
I would agree with Jewel. The other thing I think that's important there is typically if you have a renewal and you've had the same borrower from year to year and you've suddenly seen a significant increase in credit card balances, that's a key to you that obviously their budget was not adequate or they had cost overruns that at this point, you know, you're just going to learn what they were as the explanation for those credit card balances.
Oh, this is Bob. I'd have to agree with both Jewel and Corey, and we look at that too. We know it's not healthy for growers to be financing basically operating expenses with credit cards, and you know, and I know we'll take payments with credit cards, not a problem there, but we also look at that to see that that's not a healthy habit to get into is using credit cards so frequently.
I'm going to just question to Jewel. The press full of their $1 million available, even I recently, my credit union would give me a mortgage at 4.375. It's not there anymore. And many folks are seeing higher rates than that for operating their ag loans. Can you comment on what's happening out there in the general credit world and in relationship to credit availability in ag areas?
Yes, and Corey may want to chime in on this as well. That's a real interesting phenomenon is that national rates have gone way down, yet you see some increasing in rates in certain areas. And what's happening is that commercial banks have liquidities and they're required to keep certain amounts of liquidities. And always before, those liquidities could be, you know, in triple A's and in certain types of investments. And what's happened is some of the banks that have gone out of business is not because of credit issues, it's because of their investment portfolio. And, you know, if you think about it this way, banks start out roughly 10% capital, and they have to have a certain amount of liquidity, and some of that liquidity is invested in a Fannie Mae stock that became worthless. Then they have to write off that amount, and so what you're seeing is, like Corey mentioned, the bank in Colorado that went out, and I don't know the background of that, but or if that was credit or investment, but I've seen some banks that have investment issues, which you've really never seen in the marketplace before. And I think lots of banks are keeping their liquidity, and there are still some investments that are iffy in the marketplace and that have not defaulted but need to be rated differently, or they can use them for liquidity or not. So you're seeing banks being looked at by the regulator, and the regulator saying, well, you got to keep liquidity and you got to keep capital. And then you're seeing the general federal government saying, and the politicians saying, well, we need to have more credit available. And so I can tell you in that circumstances, the regulators are going to win every time, and you're going to see more conservative credit, and you're going to see higher price credit.
Okay. This question comes from a producer in our audience, and it says banks, farm credit companies, are these the basic sources for credit? And the real part of this, though, is are there other sources to consider for lending for a farm enterprise? And I'm going to make an assumption here that this may be a new or a small producer, and they go on to say they don't want to get caught in credit card financing. Jewel,
I think Corey really mentioned that, and FSA, Farm Services Agency, is a source. There are certain grants for small loans in certain areas, and you have to look at those more locally and state. Sometimes the FSA and the Department of Agriculture have certain types of grants that are available. But from that, I'll turn it over to Corey and see what she has.
Well, I would agree. I think as you find that you're having challenges getting financed, you know, the credit cards are a last resort, because that's just going to cause challenges down the road that may delay your problem, but at some point you will have the problem, and it will just tend to be larger with those credit cards. I do think that, as we've both discussed, the Farm Service Agency is a good place for you to start. They also may know of other opportunities. A lot of different Farm Service Agencies, be it whatever county and state you're in, there may be specific programs for your area based on emergency or disaster relief or drought. Lots of different options that are out there with the Farm Service Agency and those groups, outside of just their typical lending direct loans and guarantee products. So I think that that would be a place, if you're having trouble getting financed with a traditional ag lender, and you're using Farm Services, you're to the point of having to use your credit cards, at that point you're probably relying on vendors and pushing your repayment schedules there. You know, at that point you really need to probably take a step back and determine what your business plan is, how you're going to work through it. And a local lender, be that you had a relationship with them in the past or that you still do, could potentially be a resource for you, even if they don't have the ability to finance you because of your current position. They may have some alternatives or options, or be able to send you in a direction to get the help that you do need.
Well, I'd like to thank our panel. This has been a very informative morning. Supplied some excellent information, also some really good insights on how they're looking at the situations that many farmers and ranchers find themselves in. Just to point that next Wednesday morning, same time, we're going to go through some of the specific financial analysis tools that are available to help get a better handle on analysis, and those are Tools of the Trade with Dwayne Griffith and Dale Nordquist. Dwayne from Montana State University and Dale Nordquist from the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota. Again, I'd like to point you to our website, our Ag in Uncertain Times website, where the recordings of these webinars are there. We also have the presentation materials are posted there, the slide sets, and a discussion of webinar topics. And we post the questions and answers to questions that we weren't able to get to as part of this. Also point you to the Center for Financial Management website, which is an excellent website with financial tools and other information. Our upcoming series, and if you want to be notified in a different way, you can email westrme@wsu.edu, and we will see that you get on our email list to be notified of our series. The last in our June series on operating in the face of uncertain credit is next Wednesday morning. We're then going to take July and August off and be back in September. And operating in the face of uncertain markets, where we will look at market conditions and situations and talk a bit about tactics and planning for that. October, families facing uncertainty in agriculture. We don't, in the worst case scenario, which we hope farm businesses don't get to, is the issue of bankruptcy. We will be covering the federal bankruptcy law, Chapter 12, as part of that. November, operating in a risky environment, which deals with some risk management strategies and how you think about all of this. And then finally, it says January, but I think we're going to do that in December, pulling it all together, managing ag enterprises in uncertain times. Now, our file share window, and if someone can put the files on that, and you click on the file to highlight it, and then you click on the Save to My Computer button, and then follow through with that, and you see it down at the bottom. You click on the Ag in Uncertain Times links, and that's got all of our web pages and web addresses on there, our schedule coming up in the future. And then down towards the bottom of that window, you say it says Save to My Computer. You click on that, it'll ask you where you want to put it, and go ahead and do that. I'll wait just a second while you do that, if you want to save that. That way you don't have to try to remember our website addresses and other information. It's all there. The other thing you can do, you can simply go to Google and type in Ag in Uncertain Times, and that ought to also bring you to our web page, although it might bring you to this Adobe site as well. Thank you all very much. Let us hear from you. Join our discussion on the website, and we'll see you next Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and 12 noon Eastern. Thank you, and have a good day.